Last night, Seattle's Somali American community and elected officials came together to discuss a problem that's bad and getting worse. There's no longer a reliable way for people here to send money to families in Somalia. They're called remittances. That's because since February, all banks in the U.S. have stopped offering remittance services to Somalia, and this money is vitally important to Somalians. KUOW reporter Liz Jones was at the community meeting last night in South Seattle, and she joins me now. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Ross.
So a lot of people in Somalia rely on money from family here. How did it come to be that these money transfers can no longer happen?
Right. Well, and just to put this in perspective, as you mentioned, this is a huge deal in Somalia. About 70% of people in Somalia rely on these remittances. It makes up more than half of the country's economy. So it's about $1.3 million per year, way more than any kind of foreign aid that the country receives. So a big deal there. The way that it came about, this all goes back to September 11th and concerns about terrorism. The stricter regulations were passed for banks to be monitoring who is sending these funds and who's receiving the funds. So as in the past 10 years, we've seen banks withdraw from these services because they just can't meet these monitoring compliances. And it's there are penalties that can come about, lawsuits or prosecutions that can come about. So a lot of banks have just slowly kind of closed this service down out of fear. The last lifeline for this community, the last holdout, was Merchant Bank in California. They'd been handling about 80% of these remittances for the Somali community. And in February, they just decided to shut down that service as well. So it's now completely closed off for Somali families here to send money back to some their family in their homeland.
And who spoke last night at the meeting?
Well, we had a whole parade of elected officials out for the meeting, several city council members, U.S. Representative Adam Smith. And Representative Adam Smith has been very vocal on this issue. And he addressed the issue last night about whether or not these wire transfers and money transfers really pose a national security concern.
But even if you want to look at it from a national security standpoint and say, yeah, but, you know, we just want to make sure no money gets in the hands of the wrong people. Well, the key to stabilizing Somalia and stopping al-Shabaab and other groups from funding terrorism is stabilizing Somalia, is giving the legitimate people of Somalia the means to a livelihood.
So Smith also said he's been talking with members of the U.S. Treasury and the U.S. Security Council to try to find a path forward on this. What he wants to see is a more streamlined process for the banks to follow to make it easier for them to comply and do the monitoring that's required. So that's one thing. The other thing that he was suggesting was for the U.S. State Department to get involved in Somalia to help set up a financial institution there that can safely and securely receive these funds.
Now, as you mentioned, in February, the last bank in the U.S. handling this money going from here to Somalia shut down its service. And this is vitally important. People are in Somalia are very poor. It's a very disrupted society. How have they been managing since then without being able to get this money?
Well, most people, I think this is kind of refugees in general, tend to find creative ways around solutions. So some have found workarounds to try to get the money there. Some of the money is still making its way to Somalia. Some people have just been frustrated and haven't been able to find any way to continue sending this money to their families. I talked to a woman named Shukri Alo last night, and she's from Somalia. Her family came here about 20 years ago after they'd spent about 6 years in a refugee camp in Kenya. And she was telling me that she was at her aunt's house just recently, and her aunt was talking on the phone to her nephew in Somalia, trying to explain to him how she was going to get the money to him so he could continue going to college.
Telling him she's going to send money to an uncle in London, who then is going to send money to another uncle in Nairobi, who then is going to send money to him directly in Somalia. That way he can stay in school. You know, my aunt's nephew is trying to get an education, but has now become difficult because it's taking, you know, weeks just to get the few $100 that he needs to continue his education.
That is getting creative.
Right. Yeah, that kind of relay system that they're finding to do these wire transfers. And, you know, she said that this is an issue for all Somali Americans because everyone has family back in Somalia and they all face poverty, conflict, famine. It's a real issue for them on the ground. This money goes toward food, housing, basic needs. And there's a lot of concern that people will go hungry, people may starve, and livelihoods may really be disrupted there.
Well, what kind of bigger solutions besides just these workarounds are people talking about to get the money transfers going again? And are these ideas for solutions getting anywhere?
Right. Well, the big idea that came up last night several times from both community members and elected officials from city council members here in Seattle was the idea of creating a community bank or a credit union that would give the Somali community a way to have this more control over sending these funds to their family in Somalia and not face this down the line, and maybe other countries. This could happen to other countries and other refugee groups as well if there's a concern about, you know, terrorism in those countries and similar things happening. So that was the big discussion last night about, can we take this on ourselves and do this? That's one level. You know, on the federal level, we are seeing some agitation within Congress to make some movement to work with the Treasury to relax these rules or change these rules or clarify the rules in some way that banks can comply. So I don't know about the local level here, who's going to spearhead that effort, but that's something that's up for discussion in the community. And there are models that have worked to do that with small community groups.
A really tough issue for Somalian Americans and Somalians who can't get this funding that they need. Liz Jones, thanks so much for telling us about it.
Thank you, Ross.